else are in immediate danger or a crime is taking place now, please hang up and dial 9.
Hello, can you just tell me, it's a general inquiry for some information. Can you tell me who the chief superintendent is for Edmonton Police Station?
Edmonton Police Station?
Yes, that's correct.
Just let me have a look, please. Bear with me. Just bear with me 1 second, please.
Okay.
Okay, the superintendent for Edmonton is Superintendent Jenny Barnett.
Jenny Barnett. Is there a way of contacting Jenny Barnett?
There is a telephone number for the staff office that would be able to help you. That's 0208.
0208.
345.
345.
Double four.
62. Can I ask another question? The Cressida Dick, who's just taken over Sir Hogan House, is there a contact detail for Cressida Dick? So, is there a cabin or a team that we could, like, to be able to get hold of? Because there is also the commissioner, there's also the assistant, which is Helen Ball, and you've got communication, Ed Stearns, and that. And Craig is the other one, is he not? Craig, who was in charge when Hogenhauer was in charge. Also, who's below him? Is there a contact detail for either? Craig Mackey.
there's no contact details there, only the address.
What is that, Scotland Yard itself?
Yes.
New Scotland Yard, okay. I'm going to be serving New Scotland Yard documents very shortly. Also, so Roshita Hughes, the director of strategy, is she? Is there any details for any? Is there any contact details for any higher superior ranking officers?
So what's it regarding?
It's just in regards to an error in law at the present time, and trying to get that rectified, so that I'm not suffering due to it from neglect or reckless behaviour. People have broke their statutory duties and codes of conduct, and it's left me in suffering for a long time. I've been trying to rectify it with the minimum impact possible, but it just seems that people have used my personal data under the DPA and entangled that into the general public and allowed their clients in joint circular to continue. I've got it all detailed down. It's a very complex matter at the present time. I'm just trying to iron out.
Right, have you not gone through to the IPCC?
I've contacted the IPCC and I have lots of emails off of them. I've got all of them detailed out quite here right now. For instance, Stephen Williams, head of Edmonton. And I've got lots of other claims as well for the rest of them. And they had an investigation in complaint in regards to the thing, but they wouldn't proceed because it caused prejudice towards the ongoings of the case. The case hasn't turned out correctly anyway, so either way, it's pursued on for a long time. I've noticed that there's lots of inconsistencies within their statements and abuse of position, like malfeasance of office I'm concerned about within the whole joint circular of the teams right now. I've been drafting out a diary since 2006 and done a full official report. And I've got the highest grade of writing. I've got 100% in traditional words, 100% in grammar, 100% in everything. Yeah, I'm off the rocker in writing. So I've spent my time in detailing everything. 100% I'll test anybody under the map on it. And I understand the laws that we represent and everything. So every day since 2006, I've done a detailed diary and my expenditures and my expenses and my losses and everything and the times I've had to spend towards my court cases that I've won, different things. And I'm quite upset that just my word is strong enough. I've got loads of recordings to your call centres, to Bowen, to Lambeth, and I've got call assistants, line managers. Like, my main concern was the commissioner, Sir Bernard Hell, asked for an application to be put against me in ASBO. It's supposed to be a civil proceedings. There's civil law, which is a standalone order. There's there's CBO, which is for crimes after convictions, and then there's county orders. Now, they decided to put a civil order against me, but they headlined it as the organisation of illegal raves. I went to court to defend myself, and I went under that, what they headlined it as, the organisation of illegal raves. I'd never been arrested. I looked at the folder that I'd been accused of, and it accused me of being six different people that I actually wasn't. Three of them I sort of did know from a long time before, and the rest of them I didn't know. They could be your children, anyone's children. So I went to Facebook, I copied the Facebook profiles out to prove that I wasn't the organisers to these events. I kept going to court, and there's a woman called Sally Gilhurst. Now, what she initially done is she's been told by the commissioner and in joint circle with a few of them, she's in Scotland Yard for Hugh Gill's solicitors, which is also managed by Hugh Gill himself and the assistant director, Jenny Lennards and Francis and Naif and that. Now, what they actually done is, as the executive director of the country, I've got loads of recordings to me to her, explain to her that I've got these Facebook profiles, I can prove that this Lees weren't me, but I'm not looking to hand them to you to do your line of investigation. What I'm going to understand is that you've implied a Section 63 against me anyway, which is for outdoor events. Now, when it's indoors, yeah, there should be a section. If you're saying that the police officers agree that there's a section on the door, 144, on these doors, so they become private places of residence, and it's not a public offence no more. And if the police officers made a mistake when they made the application by accepting that there was a section on these doors anyway. So I went to court under the principle I'm not going to grass these people up and I'm not going to do the police's line of investigations, but I'm going to go and say, well, there was a section under the door, and under the Licensing Act 2003, under Apex 4, it says in private homes and in back gardens, yeah, that you're allowed to listen to music and you're allowed to sell music. You can have 500 people come to your house if your house don't break fire regulations, and you can take money off of them for your expenses only. All you've got to do is not have a few of making profit. Through the whole application, no one mentioned money, but they accepted that these were places of residence. So I went to court, wrote a fair description of what I'd been up to, the community work I'd been putting myself into, and I basically turned the case over. I noticed there was 15 police officers, all the highest ranking in there. I knew most of them growing up from kids, and I've had respect for them all my life. Yeah? They kept trying to put the application on me. They couldn't get on me for the first year, yeah? The injunction order. They got the injunction on me by serving it outside my front door. But they left it outside the front door, so I got my mum to bring it to Lost Property Edmonton. She put it into Edmonton, got a receipt for it here now, and a stamp. Yeah, and it had four signatures, four victims' receipts in it that got kept up overnight. That's what this is all about. Four people that got kept up overnight at Progress Way. Now, I never noticed they didn't have signatures at the bottom of the MG11 forms, but I knew that about the trespass bit. So I went to court under the trespass ground and said, "You should throw it at, and you can't prove illegality." Yeah, at least it wasn't an illegal concept, you're out of order. I showed Sally, "Look, I've got you, I've got the Facebook profile, just drop the case. You're going to do more damage by doing this to us all." Sally had spent, by the first year, she had done something like $500,000 on chasing me about, trying to get the ASBO on me, and she couldn't get it on me. All the judges kept throwing the folder out on the floor and saying, "No, they're not going to deal with it in Highbury Court." Now, eventually, they darkened my name by entangling my personal information, and I went to judge, and I ended up with I looked on the internet, she deals with children, sex offenders. They got some woman in there, and she slung the ASBO on me. They turned me from Robin Hood into some horrible person. So they threw the ASBO conditional interim orders on me, so now I've got stuck with them for a year now, yeah? Now, they let my neighbours start to attack me, people that I'd loved and looked after for 9 years before, done everything. Turned my whole life around, yeah? I've got the recordings of all of the clinic and everything, proving that there was never nothing wrong with me. And I've got everything that I needed to prove that I'd never done it. I never had an argument with my partner, neither. Right. Yeah, so me and Shannon never had an argument. So I've got loads of texts of us talking still in 16, looking after each other, while these have started to attack us in 14. Yeah, so I feel like she's locked herself in her house as well right now. And I've sort of done the same myself to protect ourselves. I noticed all the signatures and that were missing from the folder when I went home and lost my temper, because they advertised in the paper they'd found me guilty when they really hadn't. I'd been screaming that there was no first-hand evidence. Like, if you look at asbos.co.uk and you just click on about, on the bottom line of it, it explains that you need first-hand evidence to attend court. And no one would attend court. Now, I also I started to take things more serious now. So I noticed the signatures. I noticed 16 more, 10 more witness statements got sneaked into the paperwork. So I asked the Edmonton Police Station, "Please, can I have my folder that my mum brought in?" And they said it's been stolen out of the property room. I kept phoning up, and you could always hear the messages when you call 999 saying, "Yeah, there was nothing about property room." Then all of a sudden, because I was calling, they changed the message and it says, "Oh, you can't get your property from the property room." I kept calling 999 assistants like yourself, and I've got the recording. They're going, "You're being robbed." I've got like 10 recordings, yeah. Like, I've got more than that. Loads of them tell me I've been robbed. You're a black boy on the block, and all the rest of it. So I looked into the applications, and what initially happened is, through a year, I got pulled over a few times, yeah. Now, I got pulled over one time just on Alma Road on a Thursday at 12 o'clock. Another time, these got put into the police PNC by the officers. Mr. Cordell.
And what's your address?
109 Burncroft Avenue.
109?
Yeah, that's correct. All I wanted them to do was drop it under the trespass and we'd forget the corruption, then no one would have no problems. But because what Sally made a mistake of is, I explained to her, "Look, the cat's out the bag, yeah, and this is going to damage the coppers." There's 10 initial coppers. Steve Ellsmore went to the police computers, and when he went to the police computers, he took their incident reports out, and they were quite good. He opened them and amended them. So he edited them, and he started writing in them, "Oh, he's a black boy on the block," and they edited loads of stuff, which he shouldn't have done. He should have just took them out of the police PNC under NICR or CD data or regulations under the counter rule offices, rules from Home Office, and he should have... They shouldn't have amended them. But then, because the original police officers never done nothing, but because I called Steve, they all reinforced their statements with second statements. So now I got a bit upset with them, yeah? So now I started noticing the signatures were missing and went for the finer points. I noticed that all the URN numbers, which are on the computers, all had one day above each other. Yeah, like a one number missing above each other, but the created dates spread out for a whole annual year on them. So they're supposed to be unique, they shouldn't change like that. So I noticed that the URLs, then I noticed the call centre times, like the CAD numbers like this now, I'd logged, 1 to 1500, yeah, day you'd get, yeah. And then I noticed that CAD 500 happens every day, it had a timestamp of 500, the other ones went backwards, all the timestamps went backwards. So I noticed all these things, I kept saying to Seth Lemnot in the things, look, to Ross and that, and to the rest of them, look, this is going to damage the coppers, like it's going to damage my, I've got loads of recordings saying, please can we just go back to call under an emergency meeting, a general meeting, and can we just drop this under the trespass grounds that there was an error in law, and that that it was wrong, that the trespass wasn't present under the section 63, and just get my, me my freedom and save you. But they didn't care. They'd spent too much money, even they said it in the call, and then it, things just got worse and worse to the extent where we're all here now, and I'm making a report, and it's going to officially get laid down, and it's going to cause a lot of problems with everything I've been recording and what's been going on. Sally, she's stubborn, and then she's just gone and got the rest of these lot to try and join in now the council, and Neville just lost the case, and Neville being recalled, Lemmy's been caught on recording, all of the council officers are finished, Rob Leake's in a lot of trouble, I've got all of their pictures, Jane Johnson's, I've got everyone's out the internet, I've got all of Ed Stan's pictures, the police officers, if I just list out the name now, to you, you've got Chris Adick, you've got the new sergeant, which is what we just got off you, Helen Ball, Ed Stearns, Rashida Hughes and Hannah Morgan again, Hannah Morgan, Sergeant Willers, these are the ones that are actually involved in the ASBO, Sergeant Williers, Sir Bernard Hogan-Howell, Craig Mickey, Jane Johnson, Sergeant Aaron Thompson. Aaron Thompson's the worst one. He's Steve Ellsmore's line manager, and what he done is he phoned me back.
I'll have to steer the line in a moment, because I've been on this call quite a long time, so
okay, and what is the company number? What is the see that boat? Everything has its own company under the Police Reforms Act and different acts. They all have, you have like a constitution you work for, which is for the people, treaties to the rights. Now, what is the every company has to be registered. What is the company formation that you're working under, and where is the constitution to that company? Because you have your articles of association, then you have your constitution, which means that you
are
this.
I'm gonna have to clear this line.
Yeah, but you can't do that when I'm asking you a good question like this. Come on, it's a fair question. And it's not an emergency line. Yeah, you can handle a lot of calls.
And it's
what is the company number to Bo? Because I've got all the records. I wouldn't use that. You've got reasonable people, and they're supposed to talk to me with dignity and courtesy. There's 9 codes of practice, and they're all swearing at me, and I've transcribed them all and put them in my report. I just want to know the company number, so that when I'm serving the documents to the company, so the director's in that, what is that company number, Bow and Lambeth's, and what are they, like, what is the formation for them? CIC, CIA, a family incorporated company, limited company with charitable status, what are they?
Sorry, sir, I'm not getting your question. A limited company.
Who is your executive director? Who's the director in your company, in the company you go to? Who is the director of your company? If you had a problem in your company now, who is your boss? Who's the main boss? Who's the one that registered the company? Yeah, but there's only 6 companies. There's only 6 company structures, and everything has to be registered on the company.
So I'm going to have to clear this line, okay? I am going to have to clear this line now, okay?
So you have a good day, madam.
Bye-bye.